live to live righteously. Time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode number 367, where we are going to take a little time travel back in the Wayback Machine, back to May the 7th of 2017. Maybe you don't know the significance of that date, but we'll talk all about it. That's what this episode is all about. Here with me is Savannah and her mother, Heather. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys braved the very early to be here with me in order to record this. Now, the voice you heard is Savannah, and the tired eyes that you heard was her mom, Heather, as I welcome them here this morning. Savannah, May the 7th, 2017, tell people about that significance of that date for you.
Okay, I would love to. May 7th, 2017 was the day that my life changed. I came out at church in front of my whole congregation during testimony meeting, and while I was coming out and saying that I'm a lesbian and that God would love me for who I am, and this shouldn't change the fact that I'm the same kid you knew over the last 8 years, they turned my microphone off and just told me to sit down.
And so let's listen to that for those who may not have seen the video when it originally came out on Mormon WikiLeaks, which is now a different thing, or if you haven't even heard of this situation. Let's play that.
Hi, my name is Savannah, and I want to share my testimony with you. I believe I'm a child of heavenly parents. I don't know if they talked to us, but I feel in my heart that they made me, and they love me. I believe I was made the way I am, all parts of me, by my heavenly parents. They did not mess up when they gave me brown eyes or when I was born bald. They did not mess up when they gave me freckles or when they made me to be gay. God loves me just this way because I believe that He loves all His creations. I do not believe He made me. I do believe He made me this way on purpose. No part of me is a mistake. I do not choose to be this way, and it is not a fad. I cannot make someone else gay, and being around me won't make anyone else this way. I believe that God wants us to treat each other with kindness, even if people are different, especially if they are different. Christ showed us this. I believe that we should just love. I believe I am good. I try my best to be nice to each other and stick up for those that are hurting. I know I'm not a horrible sinner for being who I am. I believe God would tell me if I was wrong. I hope someday to go on dates, go to school dances, to hold hands, and to go out to college. I hope to find a partner and have a great job. I hope to get married and have a family. I know these dreams and wishes are good and right. I know I can have all of these things as a lesbian and be happy. I believe that if God is there, He knows I am perfect just the way I am and would never ask me to live my life alone or with someone I am not attracted to. He would want me to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to love myself and not feel ashamed for being me. I ask you...
All right, so you decide that... to come out of church. Now, you had come out to other folks before this moment in your sacrament meeting, yes?
I hadn't come out to anyone in my sacrament, but I had come out to my mom and I think my dad before then.
And, you know, some people would say, why choose to do it in a sacrament meeting? Why was that important for you to do it that way?
Because my sacrament and my ward were people that I've trusted. I've, like I said before, lived with them for 8 years.
Yeah.
I've grown up with these people, and I see them as family, my brothers and sisters. And I thought that they would understand being there for me and understanding that I am the same person I have been all of these years.
Mm-hmm. And what was the response like? Obviously, we hear within the video that, you know, all of a sudden they turn the microphone off and you're not able to be heard anymore. But... after that, what we didn't hear is, you know, a member of the bishopric gets up and says, you know, God loves all of our children and all of those things. But what was the response from the rest of the ward or from anyone in the ward as sacrament meeting ends and then you have an opportunity to speak to them?
There's probably been only like two or three people that have actually come up to me and said that they accept me for who I am within my ward. If I'm walking down the street, they'll cross the street just not interact with me. There's a lot of bad backlash
Interesting.
From where I live.
Well, did you have anyone that came up to you and was like, not the time and place, Savannah, or any sort of that kind of stuff?
All the time. Okay. I hear that. That's probably one of the most comments I've heard is, that's not the time or place. You shouldn't have come out then.
Sure. So bringing in you then in the conversation, Heather, she comes to you and says, hey, I'm thinking about bearing my testimony and coming out as part of it. Or is that how it came about?
Not really that way. She didn't feel like it was a coming out.
Okay.
She said she wanted to bear her testimony in sacrament meeting. She wanted to tell everybody that God loved her,
uh-huh.
you know, as she is all parts of her. And she had written it out, and my husband and I kind of went over it with her, and we were just like, I don't know, this is really touchy. I don't know if this is something.
It's a very bold statement you were about to make here, sure.
Right, and we both talked about it quite a bit. I mean, she had brought it to us months before she actually did it, and it took us that long to kind of say, okay, you know, this is something that we're going to allow you to do. Mostly because we wanted her to have the message that we support her, and telling her not to speak is way more harmful for her than letting her have her voice. And we both went over it. And I mean, at the time, I was already kind of pulling away from the church, but my husband was an active member, and both
was
of us.
Was an active? Is that what you said?
He was an active member, as still is.
Okay.
And going over it, we both decided that it was very respectful and truthful to her and her God, and that was important. And we felt like that was good for the congregation to hear.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So with that kind of going over, you know, it's pretty mature sounding for someone that is, at the time, 12 years old. Was it edited and kind of written by you and by your husband, or did she kind of... You know how sometimes, like with talks, we're like, we let the kids and then we kind of come in and go, and we change this maybe here. Mm-hmm. Was it that kind of thing, or was it pretty much Savannah's?
That was all her words.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, you speak better than I do.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Yeah. From what I've already experienced, you're great at speaking.
Stop it, Savannah, stop it. So you get up and you decide to do this thing. I know that other folks are critical of this message, and I don't want to necessarily talk a whole bunch about that, but also people that are like, well, why are we filming this? If this wasn't a publicity stunt, a try to make a statement, whatever, why are we filming this thing? Do you want to both take a stab at it?
Yeah. I mean, I got, I think, more backlash on that than Savannah. Everybody thought that I was there filming it, but I didn't have a phone in my hand. I was sitting there listening to her speak next to my family, and Savannah can tell you why it was being filmed, but it was not me.
Yeah. Not Mom. Okay, so tell us, why was it being filmed, Savannah?
So, just to restate something that my mom said, it is what I believed at the time, and it was also a big part of my life.
Right.
Since it's a coming out thing for me, my friend that was there, that was supporting me every step of my journey, was filming. He was like, this is the moment that she's coming out. This is going to be the most important moment.
Right. As you said, life-defining at the start of this. Yeah.
And that was just the whole story. He didn't know that it was impolite to film during a congregation. Yeah. He didn't know these things. And he was just there trying to support me and be the best friend that he could.
Okay. As you've gone back and looked at it, as we were kind of coming into the studio this morning, you said you've watched it, just time and time again. And this has been a couple of years, as we mentioned also at the beginning. You know, this harkens back to May of 2017, so we're almost 3 years, if you can believe it, past that time. What have you thought as you've gone back and watched it?
I kind of see it as a progression.
Okay, tell me what you mean by that.
I can see how my beliefs change. I can see how my views change. And I can tell when I'm 30 years old, I can look back on watching this right now and being like, wow, I can see how I've grown since then. And I feel like that's a very important message for everyone. I can see that I'm beautiful just the way I am, even though I may say something stupid. We're just all human, and mm-hmm. we're supposed to be imperfect.
I wanted to ask you, and maybe we'll take a break and come back and do this in the second block, but I want to ask what has gone on within the last 3 years since you made the declaration from the pulpit, where you guys stand with the church and kind of what life is like today. As we revisit this, we go back in the Wayback Machine. We'll come back and do that in the second block of the Cultural Hall. I want to take a quick second and talk to you about Best DJ in Utah now in its second year. Last year, I went to Washington, to Roche Harbor, and did a gorgeous wedding. This year, I'm slated to go to Moab, to go to Denver to do weddings. And guys, it couldn't be going any better. Thanks in large part to folks like yourself, people who are listening to this and say, you know what, I need a wedding or a mobile DJ for something. And then reach out to me. You can go to bestdjinutah.com. You can find me on all of the social medias at Richie T. Stedman, or you can certainly just send me an email, Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E-T as in tough guy, Stedman, S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N @gmail.com. I would love to see what I could do to make your event that much better. Whether it's a party or the biggest day of your life, you need the best DJ in Utah. And like I said, it doesn't have to be in Utah. It can just be the best DJ in Utah. I don't know. Now we start to get into like the technical things. It's bestdjinutah.com.
Hey, this is Jake the Computer Boy. Whoops, I meant Computer Guy from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. You haven't heard me on the radio doing commercials in a long time because I've been learning all the ins and outs of PC Laptops, the company my dad, Dan the Laptop Man, started 21 years ago. I've been working at our corporate headquarters designing and building new computers for you. I design and hand build the new PC Laptops S1 desktop, and it's just $799 with a lifetime warranty. Each one is built to perfection, blazing fast and beautiful, and backed forever with a rock-solid lifetime warranty. And it's only $7.99.
Thanks, Jake. I love you, son. Dan the Laptop Man here. To make it impossible to resist, we're doing 12-month special financing on any PC Laptops desktop or laptop computer. Have I lost my mind? Call us at 1-877-596-7283 for details, or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com, where we love you!
Here in the second block of the Cultural Hall, if you are not a Patreon subscriber of the Cultural Hall, I encourage you to do so. Simple and easy to do. Just go to patreon.com/thecultural hall. And as simple and easy as making a monthly pledge, it gets deducted automatically. And you know that you're providing great content like this discussion for other people to be able to hear. You can do it at like a $3 level or a $5 level or $10 level. You can do it as a one-time thing. It's patreon.com/thecultural hall. Savannah, what's life been like the last 3 years? I remember being 12, and I remember being almost 15, and I can tell you that was a very formative time of my life. So what have you been up to?
Realizing who I am.
Okay.
I've come to work with a lot of different organizations, like the Human Rights Campaign.
Okay.
I'm a national youth ambassador for them here currently.
What does that mean?
I go around the country supporting their own views, which are bringing political and social rights to all people.
Okay.
So everyone. And I'll just go around and speak up their voice and share them with my own platform.
So is that a lot of like visiting folks in similar situations like you, either LGBTQ plus folks, or can it be any sort of human rights? Does that make sense?
I would say it's more every human rights.
Cool.
I'll go to a bunch of different types of congregations, going from LGBTQ plus things to racial.
Oh, interesting. Like,
yeah, there's a bunch of different things I've gone to.
How did you get involved in that?
They wanted me to go and support and bring awareness to their message within the social and racial conference.
Okay.
And so I was considered the LGBTQ portion.
Oh, cool.
Of that conference.
So they came to you and they said, hey, we heard about what you did in this meeting, and we support you, and would you be willing to come and be a part of this organization?
Yeah.
Cool.
It was a pretty intensive application process as well.
Yeah. It's tell me about that.
It's a lot of youth around the country apply for it. There's currently 12 or 13, I think, youth ambassadors.
Wow. So pretty exclusive. So you just dropped it like it's like, man, so I decided to do this thing. But really, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's all thanks to Ellen Kahn, the youth ambassador. What is her? director? She's, youth ambassador
director? Yeah, I don't remember her title.
And I remember we met at a party, and she was like, you know what you should do? You should sign up for this. Yeah. And she gave me like a really good word.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that she's the reason I'm a youth ambassador now.
That's cool. And is it like a, do you have like a term limit? Do you do it for
Yeah, it's 2 years, I believe.
Cool. So how far into that are you?
I've already done 1 year.
Oh, nice. Halfway through.
Yep.
You got to finish strong.
Exactly.
Go all the way.
Yep.
It's like a mission.
Yep.
Go all the way. So what else?
My main focus and with my platform is to bring intersectionality to the LGBTQ plus community and religion.
Mm-hmm.
I like bringing awareness to the fact that you can be both of these mm-hmm. and still be happy like I am. I'm still Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like being a lesbian and a Mormon is a big part of my personality
mm-hmm.
and who I am.
So you mentioned that Dad, who is obviously not here, he's still active in the church. Are you then still active as well?
I'm considered a non-active Mormon.
Okay.
So I do consider myself a Mormon, but I don't attend church because
okay.
I don't feel safe. I'm still living in the same place that I came out.
Okay.
And I don't want to go there.
So like within the same congregation, it's like, man, not necessarily a welcome place, mm-hmm. but maybe if you guys moved, you would consider?
No, I would consider it.
Moving
I've
again?
Gone to church other times with like my grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Interesting thing too. Like, so generations, you bring up your grandparents. How are they with it? Sometimes the older generation kind of goes, okay, pats you on the head and says she'll grow out of it or something like that. Have they been pretty receptive?
I think there's only like a handful of grandparents that actually accept me.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them burn bridges with me and disown me for being gay. And I can kind of see, I guess, from their point, because they didn't already like me. So they're like, yeah, let's
so
just, it's
easy
fine.
For them to do, huh?
Yeah,
no, we didn't like her anyway.
Yep. And then... And there's like my grandparents, a certain grandpa was just, he was a pillar in my life. He was someone that I looked up to a lot, and he said some very hurtful things, even though he says that it's hard love, it still really hurts me because I want to just be supported even if you don't understand.
So what does support look like to you? Or what is support, I guess, in general? Because there are some people, and I think that... where, you know, we've heard about this even recently in the news, where people are like, well, you know, I follow the prophet, and the prophet says that, you know, we shouldn't have, like, homosexual marriages, right? Essentially, the doctrine of the church is still that way. And so, you know, we're sort of caught in this place where, well, I want to believe, and I love everyone, and I want to believe, and I want to love everyone. And so, for those that have those folks in their life, like it's a little harder than I think sometimes we paint it,
mm-hmm.
because they want to be loving, but they also want to, you know, do what they, and I'm air quoting, feel is right. So how, like, what does support look like to you?
I feel like just even saying I love you is enough.
Yeah.
Because I've met a lot of Mormons that still are very, very much believers. And will still support me and mm-hmm. still say, hey, just because you're a lesbian, I'm not going to shun you.
Yeah.
I don't want to walk down the street and feel like I'm being treated differently than the straight girl would be.
Right. It's interesting. You noted earlier that, like, you'll be walking in the neighborhood and people will kind of turn away. Why would you guys not move away from a situation like that? Is it just not a possibility?
Money?
Yeah. Really? So it's a financial thing, because I would think, like, comfortability-wise, I'd just be like, out.
Yeah, and there's been several times that I've just considered, okay, I just need to drop this and leave because this is really hard. And it is still really hard on our whole family. We're just the queer house in the neighborhood, and I also think it's important to stay for people to see that we exist, and running away is not what's going to happen all the time.
Yeah, and also seems like you're conceding, right?
Right.
Like, oh, that's so fine. You can drive us from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So you had mentioned that you kind of on your way out of the mm-hmm. church anyway. Is that where you found yourself now these 3 years later?
I mean, I'm a resigned member.
Okay.
That's a weird way to describe it, but I mean, I'm a cultural Mormon for
sure. Yeah.
And heritage-wise will always be, I think that's a very big identifier for myself, but I have resigned my membership.
So if you don't mind, and I'm going to go here anyway, so we'll see where this goes. With husband being an active member and you being a resigned member, how does that work?
Oh, it's fun. Lots of therapy. Yeah. Lots of therapy is right. Yeah. We have a phenomenal therapist, actually. She's an active LDS woman that understands the queer community quite well. And I think that's a lot of where our issues lie. Mm. So we've learned a lot of compassion towards one another and that we don't have to agree.
Right.
But we have empathy on one another's opinions and feelings. And if we can just love the feeling that someone is having or have sympathy for them on their feelings over an issue, regardless of what that issue is, that's what's kept us together.
It's interesting, though. I think that a lot of people hearing that would go, wow, I don't know how that would be able to stay together. But, you know, he and you and also you, Savannah, and maybe we'll get into the rest of the household. Like it is just a big house, I guess, foundationally of love, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it has to boil down to, because you start to get anything else in there and it quickly crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Being the queer house in the neighborhood, it sounds almost irreverent putting it that way. But what is that like? And is that really a stigma or a label that goes around the neighborhood?
I don't know if it just goes around the neighborhood, but
it does.
Mom is like, oh, sweetheart.
yep.
Well, it's actually kind of helpful for me because I want people in our neighborhood to realize that they have a place to go. We always put up a pride flag up in our window so kids know, hey, if you ever need someone, like, oh, the trans flag one.
Trans Day of Remembrance was just recently, and I put up a trans flag in our neighborhood, or in my front yard.
Yeah, forgive my ignorance. I don't know what a trans flag, I mean, obviously it's a flag that would symbolize something, but what does a trans flag look like?
It's two light blue stripes, two pink stripes, and a white stripe, and it's for our trans members of the community, and on the Day of Remembrance specifically, remember those that have lost their lives to violence in the previous year, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But when I was putting it up this year, a teenager was driving by and stopped their car, came out and gave me a hug and said thank you, and went back in the car and drove off. And that just made it that much more important to me to show that, yeah, we love these kids and they're important and they matter. And just seeing that one person stand up and say, I care about you, means the world to me.
And you guys have, like you say, a rainbow flag at Pride Day and those things. Has it been an opportunity for you to be able to either shelter, care for, or have conversations with those people that would know that you guys are a safe home? And what is the experience like for each of you guys within that?
As a public figure, I get a lot of different requests from different people. So I get to talk to queer people all the time.
Over Instagram with her, they'll private message her and just ask for advice on how to come out to their family or, you know, the feelings.
So what do you say?
Rejection.
What if I was hitting you? By the way, where can people find you on Instagram?
It's at the Savannah Sky on Instagram.
Okay. So if I hit you up on Instagram and I was like, listen, I'm a queer youth and I'm thinking about, you know, coming out, or I'm sort of feeling like this is who I am. Like what recommendations would you have for someone?
So there's a couple of things. First, I want to make sure you have a backup plan. So finding a place that you could go to just in case if you're going to get kicked out.
Right. So like if I said, hey, mom, dad, I'm queer, and they say, get out.
Yeah, because
I need to have a place to go.
And it happens way more often than people think. Like, there's so many youth that are homeless right now that are LGBTQ+, and it's quite saddening to look just like within Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So, continuing on.
So a backup plan. Sorry, I interrupted you, not
you. Oh, no, it's completely fine. So having a backup plan is a great way, maybe easing into it. Don't just, like, straight come out like I did, because you want to make sure that you understand what your parents' viewpoints or who you want to come out to's viewpoints on the LGBTQ.
So what is that? So what does that look like if I'm coming out slowly? Is it like I'm g-g-g and then I kind of back out and go, okay, I'm g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g-g- No, but being serious, you know, if someone's listening to this and they're asking for your recommendation, like, what does that look like to come out slowly?
Coming out slowly, starting with people that you trust the most.
Okay, so it's the amount of people, maybe one before a whole congregation.
Yeah, like dropping hints.
Yeah.
Because, I think it was so important because it helped me build up to coming out to my congregation by coming out to my mom and my dad because they were overly supportive, which is a privilege I understand that not a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, wow, these people showed me love than my rest of my family would. And yes, that could be like a bad thought because not everyone's going to be accepting.
True.
But it still gave me the confidence. And I feel like that helped me grow as a person more than I ever thought it would.
So what other advice would you give? So coming out slowly, making sure I have a backup plan. What else?
Finding people that you feel comfortable with or you already came out with. And just realizing that you do have a community, because if you don't have a supportive family or supportive friends, you can come to people like me and talk to me on Instagram or find your own local communities like Encircle, Pride Center.
Tell people what Encircle is.
Encircle is a house that, actually it's an organization, right? It's an organization that supports LGBTQ+ youth and their families within Mormonism.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, one in Provo, Utah, and one in Salt Lake City. Yeah.
And they're making one in St. George.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
And is that like a place where someone can go if they've been kicked out, or what kind of situation is that?
It's not that type of situation. It's more of like a center where you can go and hang out with friends. They have food. They can have a place for you to just say if you need a break from everyday life. Mm.
They have support groups and classes and things like that for parents and youth.
What do those things look like?
They're really fun, actually. I've gotten into a couple of friendship circles with the same therapist my mom and dad are seeing.
Yeah.
And
weird.
And yeah, it was a little weird.
Why was it weird?
Because she knew everything about me.
Oh, okay. I was like,
think we talk about you in therapy?
Yeah.
But it was just really fun because we were all growing as like a group, and we all became really close after that. And I think that was it was an interesting experience. And they have a bunch of different circles for different identifiers, like whether it's gender or sexual orientation. We have lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, and intersex, all beyond. And that's really what's important, is we're having a place for every single.
And you mentioned that Encircle sort of deals directly with members of the church or Mormons, right? So how is that different maybe than like the Pride Center or something like that?
So the Pride Center is directly towards just LGBTQ+ youth. It's a huge one that supports all of youth, making sure that they're in a good spot. And it's also like a center where they can go.
Mm-hmm.
While Encircle is a place that's going to bring a place where, I said place twice.
You're okay.
It's bringing a platform for people that are within the Mormon church and are gay. And they're saying, hey, you're okay just the way you are. Just like kids like me, they can understand that you're perfect.
It's a pretty fascinating subject, I know, for a lot of people. And it's funny to me, just in the thoughts that I've had towards homosexuality in the span of my life. I'm almost 40 years old. I'll be 40 years old.
Look like you're 40.
Bless you. Merry Christmas. Thank you very much. Unless, of course, you meant that I look older.
No,
take it back. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, am I glowing right now? But it's interesting to me just because, I can see over the span of my life, not only my attitudes towards homosexuality, but just like society's views towards homosexuality. I'll tell you this sort of as a hopefully humorous anecdote. But when I was in middle school, so likely right around your age, I really wanted to take dance classes a lot. And it was funny because I didn't take dance classes, not because I didn't want to take them, but because I was really worried that, two things, truthfully. One, that people would think I was gay, and two, that taking dance classes would make me gay. Like my I wish you guys could see how Savannah's looking at me where she's just like, idiot. But it really was this thing where I was like, this is the action of which what people like this do. So if I do these actions, this is what it's going to be. And funnily enough, like the transformation came for me when I served a mission. I had a mission companion who, you know, when he had gone to college for a couple of years before he served a mission, and he had taken dance classes and he had taken some theater classes, and he and I got along really well. And I was like, oh.
And you're okay now?
Yeah.
What? Exactly.
But it sounds so ridiculous, but it really was a thing where I was like, okay, so, but like you like girls and you did that, right? And he's like, yeah. Like you, I don't know. It took, I'm a little dim. It took me a little while. And so then when I came back and from my mission, was able to get into some college classes and took dance classes. Like it was so funny to me looking back going, I can't believe that this is what I thought. Then obviously through those dance and theater classes, like I met, you know, LGBTQ people. And I was like, oh, so just people like everyone else who happen to love another man or another woman or, you know, whatever these things are. And I think one of the things that you, Heather, said earlier that sticks out to me throughout Mormonism is, you know, you don't want to move, or it's important for you to be where you are because we need that. And I think that stands true for all types of members of the church, not just LGBTQ folks, like whether that's progressive and liberal, whether it's conservative and, you know, that kind of thing. Like we need to have all the colors of the rainbow, if you'll forgive that, within this conversation, in order to really be truly balanced, truly loving, and accepting of all people. Just sort of an interesting aside for me to recognize, you know, where I started being like, I don't understand it. I'm afraid that I could be this, or what, you know, I'm going to make myself this thing, to now just be where it's like, yeah, you know what? Really, really, Jesus says love everyone. And I think he meant it. I think he, mm-hmm. I think he was like, yeah, everyone. And then we always go, but, and he's like, no, everyone, guys, what are you not missing? I said everyone. And we're like, yeah, but clearly you don't mean. And he's like, everyone still. And you're like, but. He says, everyone, stop asking.
Yeah, people should not use religion as a hate platform.
Right, yeah. Right. I want to take a break real quick. When I come back, I want to talk to you guys about one of the changes in the church handbook.
I would also like to talk to you about the dance.
Yeah, well, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. We'll get to that. We'll come back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Here in the third block of the Cultural Hall, and Heather and Savannah, you know, I mean, Heather may be a resigned member and Savannah may be a non-active member, but both of them called me out saying, hey, you know what, why do you have a third block? There's not a third block of church anymore. Okay, I'll get it. We'll change this in the future. I have been called to repentance as far as that goes. I'll go with you to your subject first. What do you want to talk about dance-wise, Savannah?
I feel like where you get a lot of thoughts like that is actually stereotypes placed on gender roles.
Uh-huh.
Not just like within the LGBTQ plus community and thinking, oh, I'll become gay.
Sure.
I hear that all the time in school. But just saying that guys can't dance or they'll become gay if they
right.
do dance is kind of sucky, because everyone should be able to do whatever they want and not have to feel like they're pressured into being manly or feminine or just being strong or beautiful.
Right.
It's stupid.
Yeah,
so I
agree with you. It's 1,000% stupid.
If you are a boy and you want to dance, go ahead.
Yeah.
Or if you're a woman that wants to fix cars, go ahead.
Amen.
Savannah
sister.
Can change brakes on a car, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
I've done it before.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you $50 on the brake pads, and you can head out to the parking
Sweet,
lot because I need
it.
Some.
6 in the morning, me just fixing your brakes.
Listen, that's why I actually brought you down here. Right? You thought it was for this conversation.
No podcast, just fixing your brakes.
Yeah. Could use some new brake pads, please. So I want to bring up this because I thought this was interesting, and it's funny to me because I instantly thought of you guys. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Oh, the new handbook.
So there is the change in the handbook that came out, I don't know, a couple months ago. This is from, so people want to know where I'm citing. It's section 21.5.1, attendance at church meetings. And I'll read, just to give it the whole thing, underneath the bold and then get to the part where I thought of you guys. But it says, attendance at church meetings. The Savior taught that his disciples should love their neighbors and be no more be strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. The Savior also taught that church members are not to cast anyone out from public meetings which are held before the world. All are welcome to attend sacrament meetings, other Sunday meetings, and social events of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The presiding officer is responsible to ensure that all who attend are respectful of the sacred setting. And then this is the part where I thought of you guys. Those who attend should avoid disruptions or distractions contrary to worship or other purposes of the meeting. All age and behavior requirements of different church meetings and events should be respected. That requires refraining from overt romantic behavior, which I have to just stop real quick.
No back scratching allowed. Yeah.
Well, I think back scratching, I think that's where we start to get a gray area, right? But everyone has been to that ward where it's the newlywed couple in Provo something where it's just like, guys, seriously, I don't know what's going on over there, but I'm pretty sure that's overt and not appropriate. Anyway, requires refraining from overt romantic behavior, from dress or grooming that causes distraction. And then this is where I thought of you guys. It also precludes making political statements or speaking of sexual orientation or other personal characteristics in a way that detracts from meetings focused on the Savior. I just thought that was interesting. Did you guys know about that change, or had people brought that up to you?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
I got a couple of things. First, if you're going to start off with saying that you love one another and you love everyone, actually love everyone.
Yeah. So you don't feel like the church does?
Oh, 100%.
100% not?
Yeah. I feel like the leaders go out of their way to make it known that they don't want people to accept the LGBTQ+ community.
Now, when you say leaders, are you talking about like prophet and apostles, or are you talking like bishop on a congregational level?
Specifically, apostles.
Okay.
But continuing on downwards, I feel like a couple of things were made strictly for me.
Okay.
Because when I came out, I was wearing a suit and tie. Mm-hmm. And very
Which, by
different.
The way, classy red tie, by
oh,
the way.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't compliment
you
on that.
A lot of people said it was for my Trump costume. And then I was looking at the comments when it first came out, and someone said that Trump wants his tie back. And I was like, oh, that's pretty true.
Yeah.
But going on, I also am a little confused because if this was based around me, I wasn't making a political statement.
Right.
Or, yes, I was bringing up sexual orientation, but I wasn't detracting from the Savior.
Right.
I was building up and saying that God would love me for who I am, and this is my belief. This is where my spirit is, and that's what my testimony means to me, is that God would love me, and Christ loves everyone.
And again, I think it goes back to where, you have to know that within the church that there are thousands who love LGBTQ folks.
Oh, yes.
Right? I mean, it's not like Mormon, we hate anything, queer or whatever. That word, for whatever reason, when I say it like that, I'm like, is that all right? Are we okay? Okay, we're good.
It's also, that's like really important because you can see it from both sides. You don't want just one side saying that, oh, this people is bad and, oh, this person is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Saying like, oh, all Mormons are bad or all LGBTQ plus people are bad is bad.
Because there, I mean, let's just be honest with each other on both sides. There are some really jerky LGBTQ folks, right? And some really jerky members of the church.
Yeah.
Like we can all own that, right?
There's always that one person.
Like no one's got the market on jerks. We've all got them.
But there's some amazing LDS people that love the queer community.
Absolutely. And there's some amazing people that are LDS and queer.
Right. Yeah. And we've come across all people on the spectrum, if you will.
Is it a little flattering, though, that there's this change in the guidelines that, I mean, it doesn't say, speaking of sexual orientation because of Savannah on May 7th, 2017, but I mean, it could very well be read that you were part of the reason why that was changed. In a way, is that at least like, oh, my voice is getting heard or I'm getting recognized that you can take away from that? Or is it, or how do you feel about it?
Yeah, that's actually like a great way of putting it. I feel like it gives me a place and it tells me, hey, you're actually impacting people. You're able to see yourself in your church. You're able to see yourself within the LGBTQ plus community. And you're able to see that you matter. Because every single time that I bring up this topic, people will say, oh, you're so brave. Oh, you did a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that every human looks forward is to validation and community.
When you, do you want
to
go?
I was going to say, yeah. To me, it felt like a little bit of a jab in the heart and twisting of a knife.
Yeah.
Like, they got the wrong message here. Like, from all of this happening and all the fallout after, could they not see how much they hurt her or hurt others like her by doing what they did? And they could have come away so much better.
Yeah.
But it feels like they're making the wrong type of stand.
Is it a place that you want to be a part of, Savannah?
The Mormon Church?
Yeah.
Because I
know a lot of LGBTQ folk who really love it, right? Know the truthfulness of it, have a testimony of it, know that it's the place they should be, and you know, as part of it, then kind of struggle their way through it. And other people who are like, listen, if they wanted me, they'd do better to try and keep me. Where do you land in all that?
I have a little bit of mixed feelings towards the topic.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy the doctrine, and I like how they're saying that you should love everyone for who they are. Yes, I feel like they should fix some things before I could ever, like, consider going back, like how their viewpoints on LGBTQ plus people and their sexism, I feel like, is a huge thing that they need to work on. And if we're able to make that place where everyone feels accepted, I feel like that will be more of a true church than what Mormonism is right now.
Do you feel like it's getting better?
Slowly.
Yeah.
Really?
But
slowly.
But you do recognize that there are changes and that it is getting better, but sort of glacially slow?
Yeah, there are some little wins, like the celibacy one, and where they're able to take away the children of gay parents
the reversal of the exclusion.
Yeah, they're
policy.
Allowed to participate in saving ordinances now. And I think that was, even though it's very small, it's still a win. It's a big thing for the church to make that step.
It's something that the discussion is clearly not closed on, you know, always evolving. People that are listening to this, whether they agree with you or not, what would you hope that they take away from the conversation that we've had and the example of what you're doing with your life? Like, what do you hope people get from you?
I want people to know that even if we have different opinions and we may not believe the same thing, I accept and I love and I understand what you're going through. And no matter what, you are perfect just the way you are. And I just want you to know that even if you don't like me, I like you.
Mm.
And I love every single person, even if you are that person in Mormon or LGBTQ plus community, going, hey, she's just a child.
Mm. Is there a unique voice that you think that you have being a younger person that maybe an older person who was LGBTQ and saying the same things? Is there a difference between you and maybe that person?
There might be, yes, difference in age, but if we're still getting out a point, either way, it's still important. Yes, I can have my own platform because I am a youth, and I want to support not only older LGBTQ plus people, but also youth my age that are LGBTQ plus. So yes, that gives me more of a outreach, but also having someone that's older to support LGBTQ plus youth and future LGBTQ plus youth is just the same impact. Like Miles McKenna, the YouTuber, he may be 24, but he still is a bigger role model for LGBTQ plus youth that are younger than 20.
To any parent or sibling of someone who's LGBTQ who has not yet come out, what sort of recommendations would you give to them when that member of the church and their loved one comes to them and says, hey, you know what? There's a thing I need to tell you.
Make sure you understand how they feel about their coming out. If they are excited, be excited for them. If they're being a little bit mellow about it, like they're unsure how you're going to react, make sure you have a mellow reaction because you don't want to overexert the person because it might be a hard time for them. Mm-hmm. Another one is even if you don't understand what your child is going through or your friend is going through, supporting them is your best way to go. And you like, you just don't have to understand. You could just be there for them.
And being there for them is just talking to them, asking them questions. How can we best support?
Yeah, asking questions is great because you can build up your own knowledge on the community. You can also just say that, like I said before, just saying I love you, I support you for who you are beautiful. That is so powerful to hear. Hearing I'm proud of you is my favorite words. Because I, not only from my parents, from random people, from my family, they make me feel like this is why I'm doing stuff. This is why I'm doing what I am, because I'm making a difference for those people that can't share their voice right now.
You're halfway through your HRC ambassadorship. So you got one more year of that. What else does the future hold for you? As you look 5 years from now, what do you hope that you you have within that 5 years?
I want to bring awareness to the prevalence of sexual survivors within the LGBTQ plus community.
What does that mean?
Unpack that. Survivors.
Sexual assault survivors.
Okay. Yeah. Explain what that is exactly.
So it's where. So let me build up to why I want to do this. As a person that was sexually assaulted when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
I feel like people will see this as why I'm a lesbian and just
right, like that
off.
Happened. So of course she's a lesbian, which is false thinking, but people make that delineation all the time.
Yeah. And by also having a woman who raped me, it makes me feel less validated because they saying that, hey, you should have died instead of let your chastity be taken. As what my bishop said before I got baptized. And that's just so hard because I realized I'm not the only one in this situation. I've talked to so many different types of people within the LGBTQ plus community that get turned down or overlooked that were sexual assault victims.
So how will you shed a light on that? How do you plan to bring attention to that?
I'm still working on the process for that. I'm working with a lot of the organizations within Utah trying to figure out what's the best approach for hitting this because it's a very, very hard topic to bring up for a lot of people.
Right.
But it's something that I'm going to progressively do within the next year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else? You get a drive within the next 5 years?
No.
Mom says no, apparently not. Never mind. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up.
It's fine. Another one is, so I'm currently in high school.
Uh-huh.
I want to bring up that kids are bullied in school a lot more, and a lot of school administration doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
And suicide rates are going so high up within school. We've already had two students within my school within the last like couple of months.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's rough.
And it's all types. I mean, that's not just LGBT. That's also like social media bullying. It's
bullying.
Bullying because kids are terrible. Bullying, all kind of stuff.
When I was in seventh grade, I had to leave my school because I was so profusely bullied verbally and physically, and I was even hit in front of a teacher and called trigger faggot in front of all of these people, and nobody did anything.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, I want to be able to see students that are getting hurt physically, verbally, mentally, anything, that they are seen and looked after by administration.
That's a lot. That is a lot for anyone, but...
oh, yeah, it's 100% a lot.
but if there, I feel like if there's someone who can do it, I feel like that's something that you're equal to, right? You don't see a challenge and back down from it. You say, all right, challenge, I got this. Let's figure a way through it. Mom, what about for you? 5 years. If we're meeting back here and doing this in 5 years, how do you think this will be with her, with you? Where do you project that out?
Ooh, that's crazy.
I'd be out of high school.
I know. Savannah would be out of high school. She's one intelligent child, and I'm super proud of her. She's got straight A's. She wants to be a civil rights attorney and eventually move up to politics and stuff. And that
president.
She wants to be president. Right. And I have zero doubts in my mind that she's right on track for that. And for myself, in 5 years, I'm still going to be at home watching babies.
There you go. And making a difference as far as that goes, because I know that that's not an easy road to hoe at all. But I know one of the things that you've mentioned is that you and your home is a place that's safe for everyone, and such a vital role for every community to have a place that they know, hey, you know what? I can go to that home and there's no judgment. It's a judgment-free zone. It's a safe place.
Community.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there anything that you guys wanted to talk about that we have not gotten to? Anything that you feel like, oh, but definitely we need to address this, or there's this thing?
No.
No? I'm getting the raised eyebrows from Savannah right now.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I think I'm good.
We knocked it out?
I think we hit everything.
Nice. Well, then, in that case, there are three questions that we ask everyone that step into the cultural hall. And I'll ask them of you guys right now. The first one, based on discussion that we've had, the first question is, do you have a calling right now? And if so, what is it? And we know that you guys don't attend currently, so that would not be apparent. But the second question does apply. If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make one up within the church, what would you pick?
Make one up.
That's my favorite, because I think about the ones I'd make up all the time.
Social outreach.
Okay.
A woman that could get the priesthood.
Okay. All right. We're going there. You just opened a whole other can of worms at the end of an episode.
Yep.
And then finally, and you guys can interpret this question however you'd like, and I'd like, Heather, I'd like you to go first. But what is your favorite part of your faith? However you define your faith, what is your favorite part of your faith?
That I define that for myself, that nobody else gets to tell me what is real or what to believe, that I can reach inside of myself and pull out what my faith means to me and what my faith is and what to have faith in.
It's
empowering.
I like that. All right. That means the final question to you then. What's your favorite part of your faith, Savannah?
Oh, gosh, that's such a hard question.
That's why I save it for the end.
Even though that my core beliefs are around the Mormon church, I think building myself up and being able to understand that as a person, everyone has their own beliefs. And just because mine are different than someone else's, doesn't mean we're any less valid.
I'll take it. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back.